Friends in Christ, grace and mercy and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus. The Old Testament reading I'd like to consider with you this morning is from the book of the prophet Isaiah in the 40th chapter, where the book of the prophet takes a decidedly very comforting tone as God extends his peace to his people. The prophet says, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." This is God's word. Please be seated. Back in 1994, in Everett, Washington, there was a judge that handed down a very unusual sentence. Two Alaskan teenagers by the name of Adrian Guthrie and Simon Roberts had pleaded guilty to robbery and assault charges against a pizza delivery man in the city of Everett. They had severely beaten this man with a baseball bat, leaving him partially deaf to this day. Well, ordinarily, this crime would have been punishable by 3 to 5.5 years in prison. But in this case, the judge, after some negotiation, the judge decided to defer to the old-fashioned justice of the Alaskan Tlingit tribe to which both of these teenagers belonged. The judge released these teens to the custody of the Tlingit tribal court, which then imposed the sentence of 1 year's banishment plus restitution for the victim. So the victim got a new house out of this deal, as well as restitution for all of his medical bills related to the beating. But as for those teenagers, they were banished to separate, uninhabited little islands in the Gulf of Alaska for a year. They were given basic tools, equipment for fishing, clothing, 2 week supply of food, and then throughout the year they were monitored carefully by the state, but off they went to their little islands of banishment with plenty of time to ruminate upon their crime. What I want to do this morning is kind of build on that real life story to try to get a better handle on what Isaiah is talking about in our Old Testament reading today. Just imagine now that year of banishment for these teenage boys is over, and you, as an agent of the Tlingit court, are given this following order. The court hereby directs you, as its agent, to go to these young men and to comfort them. Speak tenderly to them. Tell them that their banishment is over, that their crime has been atoned for, that they are now pardoned. On behalf of the Tlingit people, you are to make preparations for their return and to make their return as easy as you possibly can, and they will again know the kindness of the Tlingit people. For these convicted criminals, the clemency of this court shall stand. That is the flavor of what God is saying through Isaiah. Comfort, comfort ye my people, is the old King James Version. Comfort ye my people. Ye is plural. In the Hebrew, it's plural. In the South, they would say, y'all. Y'all comfort my people. Y'all. Isaiah. John the Baptist. Mark, who begins his gospel, the beginning of the gospel, the beginning of the good news, right? All of you, y'all, pastors, teachers, Sunday school teachers, all of you who would speak for me, I want you as my agents to comfort my people. What's really happening here is that God is commissioning his spokesman. He is deputizing his spokesman. He says to them, I want you to speak tenderly to my people. I want you to tell them that their iniquities have been pardoned, that I have a double portion of grace for every sin. And when you comfort my people in that way, you will prepare the Lord's way in the wilderness of their lives, an easy highway with no hills or valleys, straight to God. It is the message that first of all comforted the Israelites as they languished in captivity in Babylon. Can you imagine how comforting these words of the prophet must have been to those banished Israelites? That the sins of Israel, her idolatry, and her grievous immorality had been forgiven. That her banishment to Babylon was now over, and that she was coming home again. And that she would be coming home along a highway, straight and easy, prepared for them in the wilderness. And that they would once again see the glory of the Lord in the land promised to Abraham. But as with most things prophetic, the immediate fulfillment of the prophecy only foreshadows an even greater fulfillment. And this is where the news gets really, really good. Because Isaiah's prophecy is about you and me too, who are languishing as exiles in this Babylon world that we live in, this fallen world. God is here commissioning his messengers of all times and of all places. As my agents, as my spokesmen, you will be the bearers of good news. Tell my people that their warfare is over because I have won the victory already for them over sin and death. Tell them that their sins are paid for by the sacrifice and the shed blood of their Savior Jesus. Tell them that I have at least twice as much grace as they have guilt. If you speak for God, whether you be a preacher or a teacher or a Sunday school teacher or a parent to a child or neighbor to neighbor, if you speak for God, this comforting news must predominate. Because it is by this message that a way is prepared for sinners to return to God. Do not, like so many preachers we hear these days, do not place before the people any mountains or valleys or rough places that will compel them to have to forge their own way to God by their own strength and their own works instead of by the merits of Christ. It is not the job of the Lord's messenger to make the way of the Lord difficult or burdensome, but to prepare the way by doing exactly what John the Baptist did. When at the Jordan River, he pointed to Jesus and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. He is the way. He is that smooth, level highway that connects God and man. And all who travel that way will be restored, and they will again see the glory of the Lord in the promised land of the eternal kingdom." I always think about these words of Isaiah when I'm driving along interstate highways, especially through mountainous areas like Kentucky or Colorado. I always marvel how the highway engineers and all the highway construction workers lower mountains and how they raise up valleys to make the way easy for us to go through those mountains. You know, I think about what Lewis and Clark faced when they came to the Rocky Mountains. You talk about tough going. And by the way, if you've never read the journals of Lewis and Clark, you ought to do it. They are very interesting. And what an arduous journey that was to get over the Rocky Mountains. But nowadays, with these modern highways, with the mountains that they've lowered and the valleys that they've filled in, it's a breeze, just right through it, no problem at all. Because all the work, all the hard work was already done for you, and the way has been prepared. Today we thank God for His highway workers, if you will, the ones who've leveled the mountains and who've raised up the valleys to prepare the way of the Lord, people like Isaiah and John the Baptist and Mark, and all who follow in their train and who faithfully speak God's message of comfort, who prepare His way by giving people the way that God Himself has provided, Jesus Christ. In Jesus, God comforts us. In Jesus, God speaks tenderly to us. In Jesus, He brings us to victory in the battle against sin and death and hell. In Jesus, God gives a double portion of grace and mercy. In Jesus, God has given us a highway that connects us to Him. And in Jesus, we see the glory of God. In Jesus, the Lord has spoken comfort into our lives. So now, let us resolve, as God's spokesman, anytime we're talking with somebody, whether it's our children or our students or our neighbor or family members, let us resolve to speak this same message of comfort. As we read in verse 9, "Get you up high on a mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up. Fear not, say to the cities of Judah, behold your God." In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ to life everlasting. Amen.